The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
This is Derek Martin from Pine Grove Church in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 63.
Hey, everybody, this is Steve Anderson.
I'm Matthew McCabe.
We are the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to keep going. And you, my friend, are in the midst of a pretty glorious No Shave November, it looks like.
Well, we're giving it a shot. I'm not sure how long it's going to last. Number one, because I don't like it.
Right.
I'm not a big facial hair fan myself. But
okay.
Number two, taking my daughter on a couple college visits this coming week on Monday and Tuesday.
What, you think her admission depends on whether you have a beard or not?
I do not. But my daughter has laid down the law and said, shave or you're not coming on the college visit.
Aren't you paying for this?
I am.
Tell her to shave.
It's complicated, Steve. You had three boys.
I have no daughters.
You had three boys. You don't know. So we're going to see. She's agreed to be open-minded to let me get to Saturday to see how it looks.
If it comes
in a little fuller and she's okay with it, and I might roll with it. But if not, I'll shave. And I really won't care because, honestly,
you don't like it.
It's just like crazy.
But I have to say, I saw your picture from Lambeau Field this past weekend.
Wasn't that nice?
With the beard and the snow in the background.
It felt staged, didn't it?
It made my heart go pitter-patter.
But it was real. The experience was real.
That's so
Operation Football Weekend was a high success for me. Badger game on Saturday, Packer game on Sunday, snow on Lambeau Field, two wins.
Wow.
Everything was great until I had to fly home because of the snow, and my flight got delayed like 7 or 8 hours, and I missed a whole night's sleep. But hey,
you spent a weekend in the homeland.
I got
two football victories out of it.
Two football victories
and a snowy Lambo.
Snowy Lambo
doesn't get any better than that.
And more deep fried cheese curds than a guy should eat.
Jeez, which is any deep fried cheese curds is more than a guy should eat. Actually,
don't speak such blasphemy, sir. You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But we're gonna trade in snowy Lambo. At least
yes.
I'm gonna trade in snowy Lambo
right.
Because
it's freaking cold here too. It's like 22 degrees today.
It is a little chilly here in Maryland. And the day after this episode releases, we will be in sunny Tampa, Florida.
Yes.
National Youth Workers Convention 2019 is upon us.
We have been looking forward to this for 365 days.
I was going to say, I think I've been looking forward to it since I boarded the plane in St. Louis last year.
Last year, we sat on the tarmac at BWI.
Forever.
For 4 hours.
Yeah.
We weren't sure if we were going to make it to St. Louis because it was snowing and icing and everything. And then we get out there and it was cold there. And so, you know, I'm sure there's many factors that go into deciding where they have the conferences, but
I'm for Tampa. I'm okay with Tampa, Phoenix, San Diego. I mean, I could list a few others.
Yeah, definitely.
But being a guy from the north, I'll take a conference in the south. Kingston, where's Kingston?
Jamaica.
I'm down. I'm down. I'm in.
Jamaican Youth Workers
for
Conference.
For sure.
I'm all in.
But yeah, so National Youth Workers Convention. Not our first rodeo. We've been before.
Correct.
Great time. Hopefully you're able to go. And if you're not, hopefully someday you'll be able to go. It's totally worth it.
Yes. We've been there as participants, just having the great time.
Soaking
learning. Yeah, soaking it all in. And then last year we got to go as exhibitors.
Yes.
And that was so much fun.
That was a whole different experience.
We're going back
as exhibitors again this year.
We are, yeah.
So very excited about that. So we'll launch tomorrow. And so today's episode, we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the conference experience. Not specifically this conference.
Right.
Because you might be listening to this and not going to this conference. And
right.
Then this episode would be lame.
Or you are listening to it after the conference and then you're just feeling really badly about yourself.
Right, exactly. But you'll go to another conference someday.
You should.
It might be National Youth Workers. It might be DYM. It might be
Simple
anything.
Youth, whatever. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
You're going to go. And so we thought we'd just talk a little bit about how to get the most out of the conference experience, because we have some experience with that.
We do.
But before we do that,
it's time for
Sherpas.
Say what? Okay, I got one for you.
All right, it's your turn. I'm excited. Is it better than accidentally putting the number of a
let's not talk about that one
line
anymore.
Okay, all right, okay.
Now, this one is kind of a funny story. You may have seen this in the news. So apparently, Gilligan's Island is a real thing.
No.
Yes.
No, it's not.
But it is not inhabited by Marianne and the professor and
Ginger
Gilligan.
Ann or Ginger.
It's inhabited by cows. So this is the story. Hurricane Dorian came through the East Coast
yes,
not too
did.
Long ago.
Okay, I remember.
And there was a herd of 20 cows roaming private land on Cedar Island, North Carolina. And the hurricane came through and swept many of the cows away. And so three of them were presumed dead.
But they weren't.
But they weren't.
Oh, no.
They washed up. 2 weeks later, they were found alive living on an island on Cape Lookout National Seashore on the Outer Banks, just out there having a good time.
Wow.
They swam 5 miles to get to this island.
I didn't know that cows could swim.
I know. They thought they were in for a 3-hour tour, and
they,
the next
and
thing
they
know.
That's really nice, Steve. Very nice. Very nice. As a guy who grew up on Gilligan's Island, that was
just
a
sit right back
catch.
And you'll hear a tale. A tale. A tale.
Oh, man. Wow. Cows.
Sorry, that was bad.
On a deserted island.
Yes.
I love it.
Isn't that great?
That's great.
Yeah.
I wonder if they ate coconuts and used coconuts to call other huts.
They probably drank, coconut milk because they wouldn't drink cow milk. That'd be weird.
That would be weird. Yeah.
Anyway, crazy. I think they're still out there having a good time.
All right.
All right. Sherpa.
Say what? So the conference experience.
Mm-hmm. How many conferences do you think you've been to?
I shudder to guess.
30 years of youth ministry?
30 years of youth ministry. It's been a lot. It's been a lot.
I think you were at the conference where they wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, weren't you?
You know what? That's unfair. And it hurts just a little bit, Steve.
But it's not far.
But I
from
will
true.
Say this. I will say this. The very first, I can tell you, the very first conference I ever went to was National Youth Workers Convention, 1993 in Nashville, Tennessee. I remember it.
That had to be one of the first ones they did.
I don't know. I think they'd been around for a while.
Okay.
But yeah, it was great. It was something.
How many people were there, do you think?
Maybe 1,200 or 1,000 or something like that.
Okay.
I don't remember a lot about it, but I remember it was 93. I still have the booklet on my shelf in my office.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Any idea how many you've been to since?
If I had to guess, 25.
Wow, seriously?
20, I don't know. Not National Youth, I mean different conventions or conferences or whatever else.
Wow.
Probably 20 or so. Yeah, somewhere in the
neighborhood. Does that include student conferences too, or just for youth pastors, youth leaders?
Probably just for youth pastors and youth leaders, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've been to, we have this thing in the Free Church called Challenge.
Yeah, you go to that.
It's for students. I think I've been to it, though, 11 times,
ooh,
maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. And, but I haven't been to that many youth worker conventions or conferences.
Yeah.
Probably 6, maybe 8, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I've been to 5 to 7 of them with you. This is great.
I only go when I can go with you.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Let's go to Tampa tomorrow.
All right. Let's do it.
Perfect.
Well, through all these experiences, we have learned a few things.
Have picked up a few tips.
Positives and some negatives that we think are helpful just to think through getting the most out of your conference experience. And a lot of these aren't rocket science.
No, they're simple. They're simple.
But maybe you haven't heard them before, and maybe they'll be helpful to you.
Okay. Tip number one, to get the most out of your conference experience, you need to decompress.
Decompress.
Part of the beauty of going to specifically a youth workers conference that's not for students, it's for youth workers, is you are the participant. You get to just be. You don't have to run something. You don't have to make sure this is happening or that's happening or that detail is done. You just get to go and be taken care of, be entertained, be taught, be you.
Yeah, so when you're at the conference, you know, I think there's a tendency, we all have this tendency, like, we see all these great things to learn, and we want to learn it all. But the better outcome of the conference is that we're actually refreshed.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Yep. You are going to learn something almost no matter what you do. Because the content is just that good.
And there's so much.
And there's so much. You're going to learn something. But a primary goal needs to be refreshment.
Yeah.
You need to get back excited about being a youth worker, excited about your place in life, excited about your ministry and your church. And so you need to decompress.
What did Iaconella used to say?
Oh, he used to say, some of you don't need to go to any sessions this week. You need to get a bottle of wine and take your wife to the hotel room and hang out in the hotel room. Buy the cassettes on the way out the door, and we'll vouch for you.
Yeah, that's such good advice. Line.
Such good advice.
There's freedom in that.
Yeah, you should definitely skip a seminar or two. You shouldn't go to everything.
Right.
Because you need some time to just decompress, to sit back.
There was a conference we went to in Columbus. I think it was Simply Youth Ministry.
I think it was
maybe.
Simply.
I don't even remember what year it was, but I remember missing the entire Sunday night of the conference.
That's right, you did. You just disappeared. I remember
disappeared.
That. We went as a group, and like all of a sudden, like, where's Steve? I don't know. I haven't heard from him in hours.
Well, there was this place we like to hang out every night, and I ended up in that place with a mutual friend of ours, just
hanging out.
Just hanging out, and he needed to talk about some things, and so we just did that for hours. And it was great. I also remember the first time I went to Youth Specialties. It was in Pittsburgh, and I took my wife. And I'd been in ministry here for maybe 4 or 5 years and was feeling pretty isolated.
Okay.
And just to show up in that environment with her and have her be in my world for a few days was awesome.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in that session when the skit guys did the skit about the chair.
Oh, yeah.
Their chair skit, you know, where the different characters come in and talk to the youth pastor sitting in the chair. And, I mean, I was bawling my eyes out. There was this freedom, this release that came in that moment that was just powerful for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. National Youth Workers Convention, 1994. It was in Chicago, Illinois. I went to the convention on Sunday afternoon. The convention those days went till Monday. So Sunday afternoon was a little past midway through the convention, but okay. I was sitting there waiting for a general session to start. I had gone by myself, but I had made a couple friends at a seminar, a breakout session, and okay. We were sitting together, and I just leaned over and I showed them I had a ring that I had purchased because I was going to propose to what would be my wife now, and I showed them this ring, and I said, yeah, I'm going to propose probably sometime soon. And they both said, what are you doing here? Go home. Go home and propose to your girlfriend. And I was like, you're right. And I literally got up, got in the car, drove 4 hours home.
Wow.
Skipped the rest of the conference, proposed to my wife that afternoon. We've been married 25 years this June.
Wow.
So it might be advantageous for you to skip a session.
It might.
You just never know what could happen.
Yeah, you might need to skip a session and call your soon-to-be fiancé.
Yeah, and so disconnect a little bit from, you know, the world. Do whatever you have to do to make sure everything is set at home before you go so that you don't have to be bogged down with any details from home. Cancel youth group if you have to, or get some people to cover who you can trust that will just take care of it or make it up. They don't have to call you and say, oh, we can't get into the cabinet that has the Snickers. Who cares? Buy Twix. Move on.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Put your phone on Do Not Disturb.
Oh, what a great idea that would be.
You know, so that nobody's calling you with those details that the world is not going to end.
It'll work out. It'll happen. If you leave a youth group behind, they'll meet. They'll be great.
It'll be good for them. It'll still be good for you.
Yes. Disconnect. Decompress.
Decompress. Okay.
Find a way to enjoy yourself at the convention, for sure.
Right.
For sure. What else?
Second one we have is deconstruct.
What do you mean by deconstruct? I think I know what you mean, but unpack that for me.
Okay. So we all have our various cultures, maybe our education, our theological positions, whatever it is that we're part of. We swim in those waters. When you go to a convention or a conference, there's often many different waters to swim in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many denominations, teachers from all different places in life, different contexts. So I think it's really good to seek out opportunities at these conferences that are completely outside of what we're used to.
Yeah.
Because the tendency is to go to the thing that we think is scratching the exact itch that we have, maybe the thing that we're wrestling with, you know. You're a junior high pastor. You go to the junior high breakout.
Right.
Maybe you need to go to the breakout on college students because you need to know now how you're going to help these young junior hires stay connected to the church when they're 19
college.
Years old.
Absolutely.
You know, or something that's really cutting edge, something that's going to change the way you think.
Yeah.
paradigm busting.
Ooh, paradigm busting.
Busting.
I like that.
Busting.
I like that. But yeah, to challenge yourself and to stretch yourself a little bit. Learn something new. Learn something that might just change the way you approach it altogether.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing.
And go with an open mind.
Yes.
We like to joke about the person who's always sitting in the seminar.
Come on. Bring it. Preach it. Preach, brother.
And
I know where you're going.
And the speaker's like, do we have any questions? And the guy raises his hand. He's like, I don't have a question, but I do have a comment.
Okay.
And he proceeds to pontificate his opinion about whatever.
Yeah.
You know, don't be that person.
Don't be that person. We're actually going to talk about that. There is a space for that. There is a space for you to talk about what you think about that matter,
right,
and to really start to contextualize it. And we'll get there in a minute. But I'll tell you where that space isn't. It isn't in the seminar, because that guy is getting, or that gal is getting paid to bring the seminar. And if I paid to come to the convention, I went to hear them, not you. If I want to hear you talk about it, and I might, I'll invite you out for dinner after and let's go talk about it.
Right.
But let's not in the, if you have a question, ask the question.
Well, and I think what that does, not only does it hinder the experience for the other people in the room.
Yes.
Except for us, it amuses us.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
But I think what it does is it means that you're in a posture where you're not really ready to learn something new. You're coming in with your preconceived notions.
You already know what it is, and you want to share it with everybody else.
You just want you to have your beliefs confirmed.
Yeah.
What's the point of being in a conference where all your beliefs are confirmed, or all your opinions about how to do ministry are confirmed? Like, put yourself in a place where you hear something you don't agree with so that you can begin to figure out why you think the way you do.
Yeah.
I just think that's really helpful.
It has to do with what kind of posture you're walking into that seminar, breakout, general session with. Am I here to learn something, or am I here to just find an opportunity to tell people what I think?
We know who you are.
That sounded harsh, and I didn't mean it to sound harsh. Well, maybe I did. I don't know.
If you feel a hand tapping your shoulder while you're sitting in the breakout session and you're talking, it's probably one of us.
Yeah, probably not, though, because if that hand goes up, I'm going to be texting you about like, hey, that person's in my breakout right now.
That's happened before.
Yeah. So go in. And this is not just a conference thing. If you want to make longevity in youth ministry, you gotta have that hunger to learn. So whether it be a conference or a book or
a podcast,
listen to a podcast or somebody else teach that's not your senior pastor from your church, you know, you've got to have that open mind to challenge and grow and stretch, because that's just going to keep you in the game longer, because you're just going to have a much wider breadth of knowledge about youth ministry and about how to be and do in youth ministry. So have that hunger. And if you're going to the conference, or you're going to a conference sometime in the next year, go to that conference with that, like, I need something new, something fresh. I want to be stretched.
Yep.
That posture will go a long way to enhancing your conference experience, I promise.
That's good, man. What's the next one?
Debrief.
This is my favorite one.
This is where the space is, because you do have to talk about it. You're gonna intake so much information in the breakouts and the general sessions and wherever else, but then you have to talk about it. You have to wrestle with it. You have to think, okay, if that's true, what does that mean? If that's true, what does it mean for me? What does it mean in my context, at my church, in my youth group? And you need to have that conversation with other people that can help you wrestle that to the ground. So you got to debrief.
Yeah. So people show up to a conference in different ways. Some come with a team, maybe with a friend, another youth pastor from the area, maybe people from your church. Some come alone, right? But you've got to find conversation.
Yep.
You can't go to a conference and just isolate yourself and just listen. You have to be able to talk about it with somebody.
Yep. And a lot of conferences actually are proactive in helping to do that. I can remember it was a youth specialties convention in Sacramento. My wife and I went. So I had my wife there. That was great. But we wanted to...
Did you decompress?
We decompressed for sure. Absolutely. But we wanted to...
Can you define decompress?
No, I'm not going to define that on the air. We wanted to have conversations about what we were learning and what we were experiencing, what we were having.
Yeah.
And not that we couldn't do that on our own, but we're one context. We want a different context. And youth specialties had sign up for a small group, and that small group's going to go out for dinner on the first night of the conference or on the second night or whatever. That's and then cool. after that, if you guys like each other, you can keep going out for dinner or you cannot. We're just facilitating it. And we signed up for a group, went out, met some wonderful people. We're friends to this day.
Yeah. I remember we went to a conference together. I don't even know where we were. I don't remember what city it was. We went with our little network.
Yes.
I remember a couple of things specifically that relate to this point. One is there was one evening where they had those big beanbag
things. Zorby
beanbags. Yeah, they had a bunch of those out. And so people are running and jumping on those. But I remember laying around on those things with three or four of us and started talking about different things that we'd encountered that day. I remember having this long talk about student leadership with our friend Eric. Like laying on those Zorbies, I remember that conversation more than I remember the breakout or the general session, because we were just batting around ideas and learning from each other, and it was so valuable to do that. That was an amazing moment for me.
There was one conference we went to that we ate dinner every night at Velocity in the hotel. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what convention it was.
That was Chicago.
And I can remember those conversations again just as much as I remember anything we got at a breakout or at a general session.
Yeah.
So you got to debrief. You got to find a way to chat about it and talk about it. Yeah, that's really important. So if you're going to the conference with a team, there you go. Mm-hmm. You've got your debrief session. Make sure you're scheduling time to actually start unpacking. You know, if you go to different breakouts, then all right, what'd you learn? How's that? If you all go to the same one, then wrestle it through. That's great. If you go on your own, tap the person next to you in the seminar and say, hey, you want to grab some lunch? You know,
yeah.
Make a friend.
Yeah.
Everybody likes a new friend.
Yeah. Find a context where you can meet somebody new. They had you talked about that U Specialties thing where they had the dinners.
Yep.
We had a denominational small group gathering at the big conference.
Oh, sure.
And I just went to it. I didn't know if anybody would be there that I knew. And I saw this one guy that I recognized, but I couldn't remember his name. And so I struck up a conversation with him. It was Kyle.
Oh, really?
Our buddy Kyle, yeah.
Buddy Kyle.
And then
he
jumped in with us like the next three conferences, and we became great friends, and he's supported this podcast and had some great conversations about ministry over the years. I mean, it was awesome.
You just never know where it's going to go.
You never know where it's going to go.
Beautiful.
So find a context, debrief, have conversations with your team or with somebody that you meet there. That's really important to process what's taking place.
All right. All right. And then bringing it home, landing the plane. Okay.
Yes.
How do you finish the conference experience?
So one of the challenges of coming back from a youth ministry conference or any conference is you have all of these ideas.
Tons of ideas.
You know, you've got pages of notes. You've got these different breakouts you went to. You heard all these things in the general session, and you got these great ideas. And then if you were like me in the old days, you would come home with like CDs, right?
Then
MP3s.
Yeah, you also came home with all the sessions you didn't go to because you really wanted to go to them, and you come home with them.
I think one year I paid for every single breakout.
They make some deal where you can get every single thing.
And I thought, oh, yeah, this is great. This is going to be a year's worth of learning. Of course, this is before podcasts even existed.
Yeah,
so it's basically like a podcast on a thumb drive. I think I listened to like two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I just never got around to
it. Do you know how many CDs I have gathering dust somewhere that were never listened to? They were purchased. They were put in a nice little packaging, and there they sit.
They're in the same place in the universe that most of our podcast episodes rest.
Steve, I'd rather not think about it that way.
Somewhere, someday, someone will listen to them.
Yeah. It'll be great. But anyway.
Yeah.
So you've got all this information. I mean, it's going to be like drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
Even if you decompress and you skip a few sessions, you're still going to come home with far more information than you could really handle in one at one moment.
Yeah.
So you've got to declutter.
Declutter.
You've got to somehow find a way to boil it down to one, maybe two, but probably just one thing.
Yes.
That you can take away from the conference and say, I'm going to try this or do this or change this or tweak that or give that a go. One thing, not 10 things.
Not 10 things, because 10 things is not going to work.
No.
If you try 10 things, you'll do zero things.
Right.
If you try one thing, maybe it'll work.
Maybe.
And maybe it'll change what you're doing.
Because a lot of the people that you're going to be implementing these 10 changes with didn't go to the conference.
Right.
they don't have the shared experience that you had there. And so your excitement level is only going to go so far. And they're just going to be like, whoa, wait, what's happening?
Yes.
So got to just find a way after the conference is over, maybe before you leave or right when you get home, you got to find a way to say, all right, what's the takeaway? What's the one thing?
It might be a philosophical thing, a change in your strategy, the way you're doing ministry, the way you view ministry. It might be a programmatic thing.
Yep.
Something that you just are going to do different every week in your program because
of this. Based on something you learned.
It might be a tool that you buy.
Product.
It could be a product. I told you, I went to a conference, Youth Specialties Conference, came home with this database management system called Ministry Tracker, Youth Tracker, and it's been in our ministry for the last 12 years. I can't live without it.
Yeah.
I use it for every bit of communication and attendance and recording for the youth ministry.
Where'd you find that resource when you were at the conference?
In the exhibit hall.
The exhibit hall.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a reason to go to the exhibit hall.
You never
While
know.
You're there, you should definitely come see the youth ministry Sherpas booth.
You should. You might win something.
You might win a shirt.
Stickers.
Llamas.
Llamas.
We have lots
Live
of llamas.
Live llamas. Llamas on Gilligan's Island off the coast of North Carolina.
Stop. We don't have any. Don't say that. We don't have any live llamas. But
True.
We have squeaky llamas.
We do.
We have
llama corns.
We have pen llamas. We have keychain llamas.
I didn't know that.
Really fluffy llamas from Peru.
Really?
That are made out of baby alpaca. We have the llamas. And so come by our booth in the exhibit hall.
We're gonna have so much fun.
But yeah, it could be.
The exhibit hall's great.
But it could be programmatic. You know, like, hey, I'm gonna do this with my student leadership team instead of that because of whatever conference. For me, it was philosophical. I mean, I mean, again, 1993, Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I went early. I went to I think they're called deeper dives now at YS. They used to be called critical concerns courses.
Okay.
8-hour intensive course before the convention started.
Right.
And I went to one that said how to have an impact on your local public school by Keith Naylor, I think.
Okay.
His last name was Naylor. Might not be Keith. I don't know.
All right.
This is... almost 20 years.
Ago.
Yeah, this is a long time ago. Almost 30 years ago.
Almost
I thought
30.
It said 20. It's almost 30.
Yeah.
And coming out of when I got home, that was my, I mean, I got a lot of great things at the conference. But when I got home, I thought, I need to be present at my local, there's a high school a half a block from my church. I need to be there because there's a gazillion kids there that are never going to walk into my church unless I find a way to meet them, find a way to be in their world. So I literally, got home from the conference. 2 days later, walked into the office at the high school and said, hey, I live up the street. I'm in this community. I love this community. I want to help. I'm sure you guys have things that you want done here at the school that you don't have staff for. What can I do? I sweep the floors. Can I supervise the lunchroom? What do you need done?
Mm-hmm.
The basketball coach, newly hired basketball coach, was in the office and said, I could use another assistant. I said, done. Became a basketball coach. And it has literally shaped my ministry for the last 30 years.
That's incredible.
No matter where I've been, whether it was there in Green Bay, when I was out in Oregon, now here in Maryland, I am in the schools. I find a way to get in the schools all because of a breakout session at the National Youth Worker Convention.
Isn't that incredible? That's so incredible. If you could find Keith Naylor
I know.
Today,
I wonder where he is these days.
Oh, my gosh. What an encouragement that would be to him.
Because his breakout session, and again, he had 8 hours worth of content. Can hardly remember any of it, but I do know that the takeaway was find a way to be in your local high school or middle school. It will transform your ministry. And it did. Within 2 years of me volunteering at the high school, I started a lunch bunch program at my church because they had open lunch. They had like 45 minutes for lunch, but the school was pretty isolated. There was nowhere you could get.
Okay.
Like to McDonald's or anything. There was nowhere you could get and get back in time. But my church was a 2-minute walk. So I said, you want to come to my church? I'll grill burgers and have chips and soda for you on Tuesdays. Just bring
$3. It's genius.
And within 6 months, I had 75 to 100 kids.
No way.
At my church. This was a church of 180 people.
Wow.
Because I was, they knew me because I was the guy that was the,
That's awesome.
The assistant basketball coach. I was just there all the time. It transformed. And it, to this day, my work as the character coach at the high school, 28 years later, I'm still sloshing it because I went to a conference and I had one.
You still sloshed?
Whatever. I had one. I had, because
we had Margarita Mondays at my church.
Absolutely. It was so great. But it's all happened because when I went away from that conference, I had one thing.
Yeah.
I tried to do one thing. I didn't try to do 10 things.
That's such a good lesson.
I said, this is the one thing. So declutter.
Yeah.
Declutter.
All right. So soak it all in, but come home with one thing.
Yes. Decompress. Have some fun. Find a way to kick back.
Relax. Skip a session. Enjoy time away.
Turn your phone off.
Go visit the local tourist attraction, whatever.
Find some local food place and just make it happen.
Yep.
Absolutely. Deconstruct. Be open-minded. Mm-hmm. Be ready to learn.
Yep. Find something that you've never thought about before. Throw yourself into that world and see what you can learn.
Yep. Talk about it. Debrief it. Have some fun.
Got to find people to talk about what you're learning with, whether it's your own team or somebody you meet at the conference. Make a new friend. Talk about it.
Conversations over nachos or bacon burgers are definitely where it's at the convention.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yep. And then declutter. Mm. Find that one thing and come home and let it transform your ministry.
That's good.
Man, it's going to be great. I can't wait.
We're going to be having so much fun.
Yes, we are. So definitely come see us in the exhibit hall. Look for the llamas. It won't be hard to find. There'll be llamas everywhere. Llamas. There'll be lots of llamas, but you'll know when you're in our booth because it's going to be more llamas than you know what to do with. Because llama is the thing.
It is.
So,
as we continue to say,
we started that trend. Come visit the Sherpas. We'd like to hang out with you. We'd like to meet you.
Yeah.
We'd like to give you a chance to win a free shirt or a free llama corn or free Snickers or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the most fun I've ever had in youth ministry, honestly, was at the exhibit hall last year.
It was
just hanging
a good
out
time.
With people. So fun. So fun.
Hearing people's stories, where they're at, what they're doing.
Yeah. Great.
Good stuff. So we will see you, hopefully, in Tampa. If not, we'll be back next week with another episode of Youth Ministry Sherpa. Until then,
Sherpa
out.
Yeah, so just in a couple days, we're going to be opening up the booth at NYWC.
Got to come see us. Look for llamas. There'll be lots of llamas, but you'll know when you're in our booth because it's going to be more llamas than you know what to do with. Because llama is the thing.
It is.
So,
as we continue to say,
we started that trend. Trademark. Llama trademark.
So get in on the cutting edge of llama logos and llama marketing.
Absolutely.
Come visit the Sherpas.
Come visit the Sherpas. We'd like to hang out with you. We'd like to meet you.
Yeah.
We'd like to give you a chance to win a free shirt or a free llama corn or free Snickers or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the most fun I've ever had in youth ministry, honestly, was at the exhibit hall last year.
It was
just hanging
a good time.
Out with people. So fun. So fun.
Hearing people's stories, where they're at, what they're doing.
It was
great. Good stuff. So we will see you, hopefully, in Tampa. If not, we will be back next week with another episode of the Youth Ministry Sherpas. Until then,
Sherpas
out.